You're listening to Morning Edition on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Sarah D'Elia. This election season, we've heard a lot about the presidential race and campaigns for U.S. Senate and governor in North Carolina, and for good reason. State legislative races, not so much, even though the General Assembly has fueled some of the year's biggest political stories. Think House Bill 2, plus redistricting and changes to voting laws that were struck down in federal court. Republicans are expected to maintain control in the General Assembly. The question is, how much control? Democrats have hopes of gaining enough seats to break the GOP's supermajority in both houses. That means they hold three-fifths of the seats, enough to override a governor's veto. We'll talk to our political analyst Michael Bitzer in just a few moments. First, this story from Jeff Tiberi of WUNC.
Since 2012, Republicans in the General Assembly have had political carte blanche. In power for the first time since the 1860s, Republicans have passed legislation to alter the tax code, expand charter schools, overhaul voting regulations, and loosen environmental standards, among other measures. They generally have the support of Republican Governor Pat McCrory. However, when he uses veto power, state lawmakers have the option of an override.
I move that the governor's veto of House Bill 405, Property Protection Act, be brought before the Senate for immediate consideration, and that the Senate vote for it to become law, notwithstanding the objections of the governor.
The veto-proof majorities are part of a historic shift to the right in state government. Lawmakers have passed plenty of controversial bills in the last 4 years, several of which have been struck down by federal courts for being unconstitutional. Republican majorities are not at risk this fall. Republican supermajorities are in play, however. That could provide a check and balance that has not been in place recently. Republican Representative Nelson Dollar represents Wake County.
Supermajority is important because it allows the General Assembly to override a governor's veto and overcome what may be an ill-advised or politically motivated veto.
How do you view it? Is the supermajority in your chamber at risk?
Well, I certainly think that we have challenging elections in a number of areas around the state. We will also need to work hard to protect a number of the seats in the urban areas.
Dollar is in a quickly growing area of suburban Wake. Despite a position of prominence in the House, he's facing a threat from the left this fall. Republican lawmakers are hopeful they can not only defend a series of seats, but actually pick up as many as four. But a number of strategists, Democratic and Republican, believe the pendulum is more likely to swing blue this November. David Rode teaches political science at Duke University.
We would expect that the Democrats would make some gains, you know, coming off of an extremely bad year for them 2 years ago. But how much?
Presently, Democrats have just 45 of the 120 seats in the House. They would need to pick up four in order to break up a three-fifths supermajority. With a state population growing like ivy and diversity increasing, as many as 13 seats in that chamber are considered in play.
I believe that in any democracy, total control by one party creates problems over time.
Susie Hamilton is a Democrat in the House from New Hanover County.
If Attorney General Roy Cooper is elected as governor, I imagine we'll see a lot more cooperation, a lot more coordination. Then we will be in a position to really have a seat at the table. And we will have more moderate policies coming out as a result of that.
It would be a game changer in Raleigh. There aren't reliable, abundant polls for these legislative races. Campaigns conduct private surveys, and reporters hear about and see some of those. The General Assembly races that could reshape the supermajorities are primarily in suburban Mecklenburg and Wake counties, and the executive race is paramount to any possible policy shift. These races will not lead to a rewrite of local history books, but they could move the state back to a more balanced state government.
That was Jeff Tiberi reporting from the State House. And joining us now is our political analyst, Michael Bitzer. Hello.
Good morning.
So would this be a major change if Democrats break the supermajority? And how likely is that actually to happen?
Yeah, it would be a fundamental shift in how the legislature views itself, and particularly the party in power. Jeff was right. The Republicans are going to continue to be the majority party. What they fear and what Democrats want is that breaking of the supermajority and the governor veto override power, particularly if Roy Cooper is elected governor. I think what this signifies is the issue of the branches of government share power. But when one branch has more power than the other, even under unified party government, it can still be the dominance of the legislature based purely on numbers. I would have to think that the likely candidates for the districts to flip would include a seat like Charlie Jeter's, district number 92 in Mecklenburg County. He has resigned. That district actually voted for Barack Obama, and Charlie Jeter, a Republican at the time. The likelihood is that district will flip. That'll be one of the key districts that Democrats need to pick up and break that supermajority status, particularly in the House. Mecklenburg and Wake are really the dominant counties in the General Assembly and in votes. And if you think about statewide, over 20% of the votes that'll be coming out of the election will come out of just those two counties. Mecklenburg and Wake have a significant majority and a significant presence, and they are also trending more and more Democratic.
And we can't let you go without asking you about early voting, as early voting locations are now all open in the state of North Carolina. Democrats traditionally have a higher turnout when it comes to early voting. So can we actually tell anything from early voting numbers?
We can't. It's all about the turnout, and certainly who is showing up is crucial. Remember, 4 years ago, this state went for Mitt Romney by only 2 percentage points, 92,000 votes. We may see a little bit less of a statewide voter turnout, but right now the numbers for early voting are matching the numbers from 4 years ago. And with this expansion for this last week of early voting, we should potentially see maybe 65, some are estimating maybe 70% of all the ballots cast will come before November 8th. So people are really turning out for this election. Whether it will increase the numbers overall, that's yet to be seen.
That's our political analyst, Professor Michael Bitzer of Catawba College. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.